You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. Joining me for our Blue Friday episode, my co-host, Nick Lee. We've been looking forward to this for weeks, Nick. We finally have the 2021 NFL schedule. I've started looking at it the last couple of episodes, but this is really the episode that you and I get most excited about. The opportunity to dish out some way too early record predictions. We're going to go through all 17 of the Seahawks games in this episode. I'm sure we will have some difference in opinion, which is what really makes this fun. We're going to see what records we come up for the Seahawks for the 2021 season. Make sure to check out Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. It's hosted by NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson. They give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your previews and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. So let's get to it. We've got a 17-game schedule for the first time in NFL history. It's really messing with me still to this point that I've been saying week 18. I keep botching that because it's been 17 weeks and 16 games my entire lifetime. And so this is just a really, really significant change for a football lifer like me, now 32 years of age, to be like, yeah, there's now 18 weeks and 17 games, but we will eventually get used to it. For some reason, I just don't like the idea there's an odd number of games. We can't have Jeff Fisher syndrome anymore. There's no more 8-8 records. So that throws you for a little bit of a loop. But let's start in week one. Rob and I were very close to predicting when this game was going to happen. We called week two. The Colts are going to host the Seahawks, though, in the season opener. Instead, an afternoon game, actually a 10 a.m. start Pacific Standard Time. And I think the Indianapolis Colts are a dark horse Super Bowl contender in the AFC if Carson Wentz can rediscover his 2017 form. If he isn't able to do that, I think maybe this team isn't quite ready to be up there with the Kansas Cities and Buffaloes of the world. But this is a team that's got a really good offensive line. They've got some talent on defense, weapons on the outside, and they're well coached. So this is going to be a really challenging first game for Seattle on the road.
Definitely. This is a tough draw, I think. 10 a.m. didn't seem to bother the Seahawks last year when they went into Atlanta and won by 13 points, one of their bigger wins of the season, margin-wise. But this is a different team. This is a team that I think is hungry. And Wentz could be one of those classic change of scenery guys. I think he's super talented. I think there was some mental stuff going on. Not so much off the field, but locker room stuff perhaps in Philadelphia towards the end. I mean, it's kind of hard to come back from watching your backup win a Super Bowl and then get his own statue while you're still there. So that would damage your psyche a little bit. So I think Wentz is still a very talented quarterback. So I'm expecting this to be a very tough matchup. And the Colts themselves, like you said, are a very good football team with Phillip Rivers. You know, they played really well, 11-5 last year. They were top 10 in both offense and defense, and added a couple pieces, I think, that can make them even better. They got Eric Fisher from the Kansas City left tackle, Xavier Rhodes, the corner. And then Kwity Paye, I think, is a sneaky good draft pick at defensive end. So this is going to be a tough team, a tough road test. And I think right away, Corbin, we're going to find out just how good the Seahawks team is.
Yeah, I think I agree with you 110% on that. This is going to be a really good opening week litmus test. That being said, you mentioned Xavier Rhodes. He had trouble with the Seahawks when he played in Minnesota. He's going to be one of the starters in the secondary. They're going to be having to replace a safety as well. They were 20th in the NFL in passing defense last year. So I do think that the Seahawks can win through the air against this team, and I will still take Russell Wilson over Carson Wentz, even if Wentz is 2017 Carson Wentz. I will still take Russell Wilson in that head-to-head matchup. I think this is going to be a really close one, but I think the Seahawks get the W at Lucas Oil, and they open up the year 1-0. It's going to be tighter, though, than last year's opening game in Atlanta, no question.
It will be tighter. I got the Seahawks winning a close one as well. Let's say like 23-20 area. It might be a bit of a slugfest with some of the better defensive players. DeForest Buckner, I think, is a really underrated player in the NFL. But yeah, this will be certainly whenever there's a new offensive scheme in town, there's a bit of a feeling out period, and you'd like to think that that could be mitigated by a preseason this year, which hopefully will happen. But yeah, it's going to be a closer game, maybe some clunkiness, but I think the Seahawks might just be able to out-talent the Colts just a little bit.
And the Week 2 matchup is one of the ones I'm most excited about. It just missed my top five most anticipated games of the year. I actually had the Colts on that list, but the Tennessee Titans coming to Seattle, and what's going to be most exciting about this is we should have fans back in the stands, and I can only imagine what the 12s are going to be doing after not being allowed to be in the stadium all of last year. What that game is going to be like, the atmosphere at Lumen Field. And Tennessee is a good football team. Derrick Henry is a monster in the backfield, two-time defending rushing champion. You've got A.J. Brown on the outside. It's going to be the battle of A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf, former Ole Miss stars, former teammates, best friends, those two guys going at each other. But this is another team. I look at Tennessee, and I don't see the overall talent on defense, particularly rushing the passer. And I do have some concerns for their offensive line and away from A.J. Brown at the skill positions because they've lost some guys the last year or two. So I still think Seattle on paper is the better team, and I think it's going to be really difficult for anybody to come in that first game with that atmosphere and beat the Seahawks. I just don't see it happening.
There is no way on the Pacific Northwest good green earth that the Seahawks are going to lose their home opener in front of the 12s for the first time since 2019. I'm getting a little choked up thinking about what that day will be like.
The emotions.
Just the emotions. I've taken this really hard, this pandemic. I mean, I've been healthy, and thank God my family's been healthy. But just the sports aspect of no fans last year and just seeing in baseball how much different it makes the game in football, 10 times that. It's going to be a special day, and I don't see any way the Seahawks lose that game. It's sneaky tough with Derrick Henry in there and a fierce offensive attack, but I agree with you. I think there's too many holes on defense, and the Seahawks will exploit it, and they'll win, you know, by a touchdown or so, but there's just no way they're losing that game.
Now, Week 3, this is a game that I had circled as soon as the schedule came out, and I thought that is going to be a way tougher game than I think most fans realize, and that is the first road game against the NFC North, and it's the Minnesota Vikings, and Seattle has dominated them at home the last 3 years, but this game is going to be on the road. I thought the Vikings had a sneaky good draft. They added some pieces in free agency. They've got a top running back of their own in Dalvin Cook. They're going to be getting Danielle Hunter back after he missed all of last season. He's killed the Seahawks in the past. I just have a feeling this is going to be that first banana peel that the Seahawks slip up on. I think the Seahawks might have the better overall team, but I think the Vikings are going to be out for blood. They have not been able to beat the Seahawks under Mike Zimmer. I think that ends in Week 3 with them finally playing in Minnesota. I think it's a very close game, but I think the Seahawks dropped to 2-1, losing a close one in Minnesota.
Here's the first one where we differ, Corbin. I think that this game, there is something about the Mike Zimmer, Pete Carroll thing where I think that Pete Carroll has a clear edge. The Seahawks have won 7 straight, if I'm counting right, against the Vikings. Mm-hmm. And that includes some in Minnesota. I know that it's not going to be negative 10 degrees. That's actually pretty generous, that NFC wildcard game. It's not going to be quite that intense. I'm calling for 8 straight. I think that there's just a coaching edge there. I can't quite explain it. It's not going to be significant. I agree that this team is going to be pretty tough. And they're always tough out. Kirk Cousins can play the Seahawks tough when he wants to. Dalvin Cook, when he's healthy, can carve up anybody. And that's the big if, is if he's healthy. They got Patrick Peterson over there on the other side now. So that could be an interesting matchup. Patrick Peterson knows a thing or two about defending the Seahawks. But I disagree a little bit. I think that the Seahawks, just with the coaching edge, they're going to get it done and start 3-0.
Now let's look at these next two games. Week 4, another road game against the 49ers. Then Week 5, Thursday night against the Rams. So they got to play both of them in a 5-day span. That's not necessarily something that's going to excite fans. I think the Seahawks are going to be really hard pressed to win both those games. And I think the road game in Week 4 against the 49ers, the 49ers had such a rough year last year. I think Nick Bosa coming back, some of the other injured players they have, they're going to be hungry to beat the Seahawks because the Seahawks swept them last year. And I just think playing in the Bay Area, they're going to have their fans back in the stands. I just think that's going to be a really difficult one for the Seahawks to win. On the flip side, getting back to Lumen Field on Thursday Night Football, they beat the Rams there last year in the regular season. They're going to want revenge for losing in the playoffs, again, having fans in the stands. And I think the Rams have some deficiencies with some of the big moves they've made. They have lost some key players. Yeah, they added Matt Stafford, but I think the Seahawks are going to be ahead of them on the curve going into that game. So I've got Seattle going 3-2 in the first five games. They split these two NFC West matchups, lose the 49ers in a close one, but edge the Rams on Thursday Night Football.
I'm step for step with you here. I think the 49ers are going to come out offended from last year.
That's that, a great that, word for it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be offended that how they played with the injuries and stuff. So throw the record out from last year. Trey Lance, Jimmy G, I don't think it'll matter. I think this team will have that want to, that desire, and I agree with the fans. I think that's going to play it's going to be a very interesting storyline in 2021, just how different some of those teams play with fans. And I think beneficial to the Seahawks for the most part, but 49ers can get pretty rowdy too. And they'll be healthy earlier in the season like here. So I'm gonna call the Seahawks drop this one here. This will be my first loss, I think. So that'll be, and then I have them beating the Rams and at home, because they're not going to lose on Thursday Night Football at home. The first primetime game at home with fans in almost 2 years, give me a break. They're not going to lose this game. And they are, and on the flip side from the 49ers, the Seahawks are offended at how that game ended in the NFC wildcard game last year. So I expect them to split those two.
So the Seahawks would be 4-1 in your simulations, yes. 3-2 in mine. We're going to advance to week 6, another primetime game against the Steelers. When we return from the break, you're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, the NBA, NHL, and all of the UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Blue Friday edition. I'm your host, Corbin Smith, joined by Nick Lee. It's time to continue our way too early Seahawks 2021 predictions. So far, we've gotten through the first five games. Nick has the Seahawks at 4-1 with their only loss being to the 49ers. I'm a little more pessimistic. I have them losing a couple of road games to the Vikings and 49ers in week 3 and week 4. So let's continue week 6, another road game. Four road games in the first six for the Seahawks. Another reason that beginning stretch is going to be tough for Seattle. They're going to be playing in Pittsburgh, another primetime game at Heinz Field. They did win there 2 years ago. This was one of the top five most enticing games for me going in, just because I think this is going to be the last time, unless they play in the Super Bowl, that we are going to see Russell Wilson going against Ben Roethlisberger. You know Pittsburgh's got a ferocious pass rush. They've got a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. So I think this is going to be a slugfest in Pittsburgh. That being said, I think the Seahawks, they have the quarterback advantage at this point. Roethlisberger is near the end of his career. I think Russell Wilson and company, they go in and get the job done with some of that quick passing game that hurt the Steelers a couple years ago, and they escape with a 7-point win.
If I'm not mistaken, the game against the Steelers in 2019, that was the game that Ben Roethlisberger got hurt.
It was.
And, yep. And Mason Rudolph had to finish it out. So that certainly played into the result, I think. Ben Roethlisberger, I think he's that classic Toby Keith country song where, "Now I ain't as good as I once was, but I can be good once as I ever was." And this might be that game. Yes, I listen to country music, confession time. And I just think with Najee Harris, he's going to be a load. I think Najee Harris is going to be a pretty good back in the NFL. This is a very losable game for the Seahawks. They got a ferocious defense, Minka Fitzpatrick, TJ Watt. Pretty good combo there. I'm actually going to pick the Seahawks to drop this one, a heartbreaker. Let's go, 24-21, field goal. or last second touchdown or something. It's going to be a real good battle. These two teams just know how to play good football when they play each other, usually, unless Russell Wilson's throwing five picks or something.
They normally have pretty good games. The Seahawks have managed the last two times to late hold on and win. The 2015 game against the Steelers, one of the best games I've ever watched. And Doug Baldwin ended up scoring a long touchdown late in regulation to put him away. Cam Chancellor had one of the coolest interceptions I've seen. And then the game a few years ago was not near as visually appealing of a game, but it was close, and there were some big plays in that game. But again, two well-coached teams. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. The Seahawks follow up with back-to-back home games in Week 7 and Week 8. Week 7, a primetime Sunday night game, actually a Monday night game, against the New Orleans Saints, one of two Monday nighters the Seahawks have on their 2021 schedule. And New Orleans is going to be one of the more perplexing teams going into the season because no Drew Brees. You've got either Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill as the starting quarterback, but they have a lot of the championship pieces still on the roster away from the quarterback. So if they get stellar QB play, that is still going to be a dangerous team in New Orleans. But I like Seattle in this matchup. I don't trust Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston to be able to go toe-to-toe with Russell Wilson. And quite frankly, I think the Saints have lost enough other players that it's not going to be. I think a couple years ago when the Saints won in Seattle, they had the better team around their quarterback, even without Drew Brees playing in that game. I don't think that's going to be the case this time around. So I think the Seahawks get another primetime win, three straight primetime victories, and they follow up with a closer than expected, but still get the victory against the Jacksonville Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence in Week 8. So at that point, the Seahawks are 6-2 going into their bye.
Yeah, with the Saints, you know, the only time I trust really Taysom Hill is when he's playing for BYU against the Texas Longhorns. That's the only time I trust him. I'm way higher on my other guy, Zach Wilson, than I am. Taysom Hill is a long-term quarterback solution in the NFL. But even if it is Jameis Winston, it's weird to think that the Saints could be held back by the quarterback play. That's just a weird statement to say. And I think that by this time, whoever is the quarterback will have taken the job by then. If they have some sort of open competition starting in the year. I think Sean Payton's going to have his guy and his guy ready by that game. But I think the Seahawks win this game, and maybe even comfortably, but comfortably by Seahawks standards, which is, you know, more
10
than
points.
10 points. I'm going to go like 31-20 or something like that. The Seahawks win it. And again, Monday night home game, forget about it with the 12s there. No way they're losing that. And then the Jaguars, that game could be sneaky tough. We'll see how the Jaguars respond to Trevor Lawrence back there. I think that they're going to be much, much better. But again, if this is in Jacksonville, maybe I think it's a tougher game. But in Seattle, no, I think the Seahawks get it done against a really young quarterback.
So we both have the Seahawks at 6-2 going into their Week 9 bye, a little different path to getting to that record. But then we get to one of those major wild cards. I think, and I talked to Rob about this the day the schedule came out. I don't remember going into a season, getting the schedule, and feeling like there were two or three games. I'm like, I really don't know what that team is going to look like, mainly because we've had all this quarterback drama this offseason, and the Green Bay Packers are one of those teams that it is my belief, I'm saying this right now, I think Aaron Rodgers is in another uniform when the 2021 season starts. I do not think he's with the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay can keep saying we're not trading him. Well, he's got the leverage in this situation, and I think he'll walk away if the Packers don't try to trade him. I think he will say, well, I'm not playing for you, so I'm not going to play for anybody then. And he's stubborn like that. So that's my viewpoint, but we're going to say for the simulation that somehow they fix things and Aaron Rodgers is under center in Week 10. If that's the case, I just don't trust the Seahawks playing at Lambeau Field. I don't care if it's beginning of the season. I don't care if it's in the middle of winter with snowballs hitting them in the helmet. They just can't win at Lambeau Field. And, you know, if Jordan Love's playing, then I think they do have a fighting chance to beat that curse. But they have not won there since 1999. It's just not, it is not a place the Seahawks win normally. So I think it's going to be a close game, even with Aaron Rodgers there. The Seahawks have given them competitive games. They've made too many mistakes. They've turned the ball over, and they've had slow starts. Unfortunately, even coming off a bye week, I don't see them shaking all of that enough to win this game. My caveat is if Aaron Rodgers isn't in uniform, then yes, the Seahawks are going to win that one. But I'm basing this prediction on him being under center, even though I personally don't think he will be.
Yeah, if the Seahawks have a house of horrors, it's definitely Lambeau Field. yeah, it doesn't matter the weather, whatever. There's just something, there's ghosts, there's something buried under the stadium. I don't know what it is. They just don't play well. I'm also of the mentality, you know, prepare for the worst, hope for the best. And preparing for the worst would be preparing that Aaron Rodgers, reigning MVP, will be under center for Green Bay. And if that's the case, then yeah, that'll be a very tough game for the Seahawks to win. If they can pull that off, this could be a special season. If they're sitting at 6-2 and going to Lambeau and go 7-2, that there's something special going on in Seattle. But yeah, I unless Jordan Love is under center, I think it's going to be 6-3, unfortunately.
And that's still a very good roster around whoever's at quarterback. And maybe Jordan Love comes in and does okay if Rodgers gets moved. I mean, they moved up to get him. They clearly had confidence that he could be the guy. So you can't – there's never a game that is a guaranteed win in the NFL. I don't care who you're playing. But if they have Aaron Rodgers, that's going to be one of their toughest road games on the schedule. No question about it. Next two games here, week 11, home game against the Cardinals, who Seattle beat them last year. But the Cardinals have consistently, even when they're not good, the Cardinals find ways to come to Lumen Field and win road games. And then week 12, another Monday nighter at Washington. And I think the Washington football team, everybody's talking about the Dallas Cowboys or even the New York Giants. They're getting Saquon Barkley back. Year three is going to be the year for Daniel Jones. I think Washington with Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think that Fitzpatrick, when he retires, people are going to realize, you know what? We didn't respect him enough as a quarterback. And I'm not saying he's elite or even great, but I think he has been underrated for a long time. And he's played for a lot of really bad teams and still been productive. And so I think you put him with that team with Curtis Samuel, Antonio Gibson, Terry McLaurin. They've got a good tight end in Logan Thomas. I like their offensive line, and their defense is vicious. So I think Seattle is going to win that game, but it's going to be really difficult. That is going to be a defensive slugfest. Ron Rivera's team will be ready to go. They gave the Seahawks fits last year, and they're going to have a better quarterback under center this time in Ryan Fitzpatrick. They're going to need that win, though, because I can't see the Seahawks beating the Cardinals at home 2 years in a row. It's kind of another one of those where trends just tell me Kyler Murray and some of the new weapons they've added to go with DeAndre Hopkins that the Cardinals are just going to be a bit too much in that game in week 11. So I've got the Seahawks with four losses at that point, which is going to put them kind of in a difficult position to win the NFC West. It's going to put a lot of pressure on them going into the final stretch of the season.
Yeah. What separates me with the Cardinals this year is some of the moves they made on defense.
Yep.
This team is going to have a healthy Chandler Jones along with JJ Watt. Are you kidding me? That's just not even fair. And with some other weapons they have on defense, and you bring in Malcolm Butler with all that spookiness of that stadium, and that's against the Seahawks. I don't even want to go into that. But this is going to be a tough team. Zaven Collins, I think, is going to be a fine linebacker. Isaiah Simmons is going to be a weapon there. So I think that's what separates the Cardinals this year is the defense. Because last year, I think they're going to be a year late. Because last year, I thought this is a 10-6 team. I think that I thought very highly of the Cardinals last year, and I think this year they're going to become that. I think they're really going to show themselves. I think Kyler Murray is a fine quarterback. I was very wrong about him. I think the Cardinals get them at home here and drop to 6-4. And then Washington, yeah, I think that when all else fails, you just compare the two quarterbacks. You gave a lot of respect to Ryan Fitzpatrick, which absolutely, yes, he deserves. But when you're looking at the graphic of Russell Wilson versus Ryan Fitzpatrick, you like your matchup with Russell Wilson Monday night. And that field has been a little weird sometimes, I know. But again, Monday night, the Seahawks always come to play in primetime. So I think the quarterback and it being primetime separates it for me for Seattle to go, what was it, 7-4? Yeah, 7-4 after that Washington game.
Yep, we both got the Seahawks at 7-4 going into our final six games, which we will get to when we return for the third quarter. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Are you looking for a way to boost your workout game? Are you seeking a delicious protein bar without the sugar and carbs? Enter in the Built Bar. 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors. Some of the best ones, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, apple almond crisp, peanut butter, double chocolate, you're going to have a tough time eating just one. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate, soft, easy to chew. It's great for the health conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and they're great for a keto diet. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. Happy Blue Friday. I'm your host, Corbin Smith, joined by Nick Lee. Time to wrap up our way, way too early 2021 Seahawks schedule predictions. Nick, you and I both have our Seahawks teams at 7-4 records, coming off kind of a tough stretch, losing two games to the Packers and the Cardinals, and then narrowly beating out Washington. So they've gone 1-2 in the past three games in both of our predictions. Now we're going into the final home stretch, week 13, my number one most enticing game on the Seahawks schedule, a primetime Sunday night matchup at Lumen Field with the 49ers. I had San Francisco beating them in week 4 on the road. I think the Seahawks get a little bit of revenge. They're still going to be thinking about that game, the guys that are still on the team from 2 years ago, when Jacob Hollister got hit at the goal line and missed a game-winning touchdown by centimeters. I'm not even going to go inches. Like you could have put a couple index cards between the distance between the football and the goal line. That's how close they were to winning the NFC West in that game. I think this is going to be the same type of classic thriller on Sunday Night Football, but I think this time around – Seattle wins this game. What could make this really interesting is I think there's a good chance that we could have a different quarterback under center for the 49ers in this game too. This could be the first of many matchups between Russell Wilson and Trey Lance. I've got the Seahawks winning this one by 2 points in another incredible thriller in prime time.
Yeah, the last part you mentioned of Trey Lance, I think that could be the deciding factor, is how ready and how experienced is he by that time, because when it gets to be December and there's a division on the line at Lumen Field, holy cow, that's a tough environment to play for anybody. So, I agree. I think a lot of those players are going to be thinking about the centimeters that they fell short of. Now would have been back-to-back NFC West titles. And they're going to – I think just naturally when two really good division rivals play, a split is usually a safe bet, and a road or a home and home split. So I'm going to go the safe route and say that the Seahawks do get revenge from the earlier loss and go to 8-4. Especially if maybe they face Jimmy G late earlier in the year, they move on to Trey Lance and he starts to get going. I think that could be advantage Seahawks as well. Just facing a younger quarterback that won't have as much experience. I think in the long run, Trey Lance could be much better than Jimmy G, but maybe not a couple weeks into his career. So I got him going 8-4 and exacting revenge.
Coming off that game, this is a stretch that I think is going to be very important for the Seahawks starting in week 14, because if there is an area where they can pounce on a few opponents, I think it starts week 14, their road game in Houston. Yes, it's a road game in the NFL. Those are always challenging. But if Tyrod Taylor or rookie Davis Mills is under center, the Texans have already had so many other good players that have either been traded away or left in free agency the last 2 years. Not having Deshaun Watson out there, I have a feeling the Texans are going to be a prime contender for the number one overall pick in the 2022 NFL draft. So I think the Seahawks go in and put a 20-something point whooping on the Texans. I just respect to Tyrod Taylor because I think he's a solid backup in the NFL, can spot start for you. Davis Mills maybe has the potential to be a starter in this league, but that team is not built to compete right now, especially without Deshaun Watson. I think this is the one true gimme on Seattle's schedule in week 14. So I've got them putting a 3-score whooping on the Texans and advancing to 9-4.
Yeah, by then the Texans might have the hashtag reek for Rattler campaign going or something.
Or whoever the new number one guy is. There's a couple other QBs in this draft that are interesting. So
So I agree. I think that this is that they're at certainly in contention for a top five pick. If Deshaun Watson somehow is out there and is playing like he normally is, even then he has lost so much of his supporting cast that he can't do it all by himself. He's an uber talented quarterback, even though he sounds like he's a big knucklehead. And it's going to be tough for them to win. It's going to be tough for the Texans to even keep it close. I think absolutely the Seahawks go away from that and go 9-4. I just think, they've just lost so much. And I think losing J.J. Watt is more than just losing a defensive end. It's losing the heart and soul, not only of that team, but really that city.
And that was after trading DeAndre Hopkins, too, for a bag of peanuts. I mean, they've just made so many questionable moves. And in the front office, the players are not on their side anyway with some of the comments that were made by former owner Cal McNair. We could talk about that, but Locked On Texans podcast. So Seahawks are going to beat them. Going into week 15, we've talked a couple times already about how difficult it is to sweep opponents in the NFC West. I think the Seahawks are going to be dealing with that in week 15, playing in LA. They have not won there in 4 years. I just don't see the Seahawks going to SoFi Stadium in week 15 and winning that game. And I think by that point, Matt Stafford is going to be fully into the Rams offense. I just have a feeling that's going to be a game that the Seahawks are not going to be able to quite get the job done. Now, the NFC West could be on the line there, so it is going to be a critical game, but I'm just not seeing it. The good news is I think the next two games going back at home, I think that they can get wins, and they should be heavily favored going against two NFC North opponents. So they can recover from dropping to 9-5.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think that the Seahawks go into LA and really struggle. They always have. And it's going to be a tough one. And again, two solid division opponents playing. Usually it's pretty safe to pick a split. So I'm with you.
Looking at the next couple games, week 16, the Chicago Bears, and the week 17, the Detroit Lions. This is the second time the Seahawks have back-to-back home games. The second time total that they have back-to-back home games. Going against NFC North opponents, the Bears could be a wild card here because I do like Justin Fields a lot, and they've got some defensive talent still on that roster, especially on the front line. So that could be a team that could be much tougher to play in week 16 than early in the year. I still like Seattle's roster, and I like the fact they have home field advantage, which can help mitigate that pass rush that the Bears have, led by Khalil Mack and company. So I still think the Seahawks get it done. I think that's going to be a close game, especially if Justin Fields is playing as I anticipate. I think it'll be a close game, but I think the Seahawks are just the better football team. And then the next week, week 17, I'm a believer in Dan Campbell. I think the Detroit Lions could be a team in a year or so that are on the rise in the NFC North. I just don't see them being ready to do that this year, though. I really like the draft class. I don't necessarily trust Jared Goff, some of the other players they're bringing back from the former regime. I just don't see them being a team that wins a lot of games, but I think they're going to be pesky, and I think they're going to be a team that plays hard for their coach. So, again, there are no gimmies in the NFL. I think that's going to be another game that might be a little closer than people expect, but the Seahawks should be able to win that game. I think they're better in all facets. So I think the Seahawks come out of that game with an 11-5 record heading into their season finale.
I'm with you there. I think that the Bears – our sneaky good one. If this game is in Chicago, I actually might lean to the Bears. I think pretty highly of Justin Fields as well. I spent all offseason comparing him to Zach Wilson, so I've watched a lot of Justin Fields tape. I like what I saw, and they have some good pieces around him. And I agree that the Lions are going to be there. I'm not sure they're going to be biting kneecaps off just quite yet. they're getting close, and I think the Seahawks know Jared Goff. They know how to beat Jared Goff. It's going to be a different system, I know, but you know that some things are going to. It's a bit of a mental side. I think that the Seahawks know that. You know, aside from a couple games with the Rams, they kind of have Jared Goff's number, and I think that this might translate a bit into there, especially if they can force an early turnover or maybe knock his wind out with a sack or something, get him thinking about it. I think the Seahawks can come away with those two wins, maybe with a combination of, 20 points more margin combined.
Yeah, and Jared Goff, the other thing worth noting, he doesn't have Sean McVay calling plays for him. That's going to be a huge
difference. We're going to find out how good he is.
Maybe the Lions have the coaching infrastructure in place to be able to help him, and he's able to produce for them. When he's been on, he's been really on. But again, I'm just not sold on him, and I think they're probably a year or so away. But I do like Dan Campbell. I like the draft. I could argue they had the best draft in the entire league. I really liked top to bottom the players that they picked. But I'm just not sure they're going to be ready to win a lot of games yet at this point. Now, week 18, we've got the Seahawks at 11-5. Both of us do. Cardinals rematch. Arizona, both of us predicted, was going to win in Seattle in week 11. I think the Seahawks turn the tables with the NFC West on the line. I think 12 wins can get you the NFC West championship with this division being so tough. I think it's going to be really difficult to get to 13, 14 wins, even with the additional game being added. I think 12-5 gets it done. This could very well be a winner takes NFC West, loser gets wild card type matchup, because I think the Cardinals are a legitimate threat in this division. I just think the Seahawks are going to find a way to get it done, even though they've had all those injuries in Arizona, and that's been another place that's been a house of horrors for different reasons. They lost there last year, but they've consistently won in Arizona. So it's kind of been a weird. The road teams had most of the success in that series. I think that is maintained with the NFC West on the line here. The Seahawks finish up winning 6 of their final 7 games, very similar to last year, and they're going into the playoffs rolling.
I know I just said that it's a good bet to split the division games against good division. I think every single one of these teams is playoff caliber, which is going to make this division really tough. And I agree. I think 12, 13 wins gets it done this year with this division. I'm actually picking the Seahawks to lose. And if the Cardinals clip them at home in Seattle, you know, they'd like to think that they have the advantage. And maybe some weird thing happens where the Seahawks have their destiny already decided in week 18. And so they let the kind of Cardinals just do whatever. That could be another scenario, which I prefer, because that means the Seahawks are in the playoffs. I think, I mean, obviously the Seahawks are in the playoffs either way in these predictions, but I don't know. I'm really high on the Cardinals. I think that they're a really good football team, and some of the stuff they added in the offseason, starting with J.J. Watt, I know he's aging, but again, just like losing with what Houston lost, Cardinals gained as far as the man, the locker room guy, the defensive end. I think that's going to play a huge part in their defense and maybe create an identity that wasn't there before with that defense, and I think they're going to be pretty dangerous. And yeah, I agree that this could be a battle for the NFC West, and that this could go the Cardinals' way to if guys are healthy, if the J.J. Watts and Chandler Joneses of the world are healthy week 18, which is still weird to say, then this game could be in the Cardinals' favor. I got 11-6, which still will get you probably squarely in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that would give you a chance to even potentially win the division, because if all these teams are beating up on each other, then maybe 11 wins is going to be enough, even with that extra game. We don't know. It's also possible that this could be one of those cases where all four teams are bunched together, and whoever wins this one gets into the playoffs, and whoever loses doesn't.
Good point.
That's the downside of being in a division where everybody is talented and is in the hunt. You might not have any teams with more than 11 wins, and you might have a couple wildcard teams in other divisions that are weaker that have more victories. And so
the Cowboys
there is likely to be a lot on the line when these teams get together. I think Seattle gets it done. You don't. We'll see what happens. Again, we got several months till training camp even gets here. We'll have another opportunity to look at the schedule when we get into camp, and we have a better idea how everything looks around the league. Make sure to check out the Locked On Today podcast hosted by Peter Bukowski. He updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter at Corbin Smith NFL. You can follow Nick at Nick Lee 51. Check out Locked On Seahawks on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and the all-new Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. When Rob Rang and I return on Monday, we're going to be sharing some takeaways from the Seahawks rookie minicamp, which is going to kick off later this afternoon and last through Sunday. We'll be sharing what observations we are allowed to share coming out of the VMAC. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks for listening in. Go Hawks.